The Painted Arrow Podcast, committed to taking you beyond the pursuit. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Painted Arrow Podcast. You're here with Devin, Cole, and myself, and we just want to come out and say that it's been too long since we've been on here with the podcast. We've had some big life moments kind of go down. Your boy got married.
Yeah, congratulations.
So
Big weekend.
That takes a lot more energy than you think it does, you know, going into
all this planning coming to a head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been our that's our excuse, I would say. But there's really no excuses for not being consistent. So today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We're going to talk about a new series that we're going to be doing called Moments. And we're going to get into that pretty good here.
Specifically for this fall, we're teasing the series. We're going to kind of let people know what it is. But and then on the topic of series, we haven't forgotten about Buy Dirt either. So that's the other thing we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. You want to just start there?
Yeah, let's just start there.
So the last time we were on the Buy Dirt series, we had we talked a lot about opportunities and capitalizing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think folks want to kind of be filled in maybe a little bit on, you know, we were looking at some properties together. What kind of happened since then, and where are we going from here?
Yeah, so my position and the goal has kind of always been the same, but the way, I guess the lens I was looking at it through has changed multiple times, and I think that's more of just a function of the market and the situation that real estate's in right now. But when we started the Buy Dirt series, the intent was for, you know, to document my journey in purchasing a farm, which my wife and I later would plan to build a home on and live there forever. And then I think during one of our most recent episodes, we might have kind of teased that the plan might have been shifting a little, where we were looking to potentially just buy a home somewhere else and still obviously buy rec land, but keep it exclusively for hunting and not necessarily build on it. And, you know, like you mentioned, we've been through a couple different walkthroughs. We've gone through some properties. You and I have walked plenty, a couple together, probably three or four. And we've talked about those on here. But since then, where we've landed is, I know we've talked about this on here before as well, but I bought last summer, I bought 11 acres next door to my parents' property, which is the property I grew up hunting, which is the 22-acre parcel that we've talked about. And with that and the 11 acres that I bought, we've got about 33, and that's what we refer to on here as the Crickwoods property.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're at now is I've been in conversation with a couple neighbors who may be interested in selling their property or some of their property. And so big picture, my wife and I have thought a lot about this, and we're moving forward with building a home on the property that we already own at the Crickwoods. My parents have talked about downsizing, in the future. They're about to be empty nesters. My youngest sister just graduated high school. And so, you know, I kind of have been very romantic in my head with the idea of the Crickwoods, because it's where my grandpa taught me how to hunt. It's where I had my first encounters, and where I killed my first deer. And so we were really just kind of racking our brain, and we had a couple land opportunities fall through, and we're just like, man, like, when is this ever going to happen? What's going to be the right opportunity? And we kind of just had a crossroads moment where we were like, what if what we're looking for is right here? Like, what if it's right in front of us? I think we've mentioned there's a manufactured home on the property that we're currently living in, but the intent is we will build a new home behind it and then have this home removed from the property when the new home's complete. And we're pretty excited about it. Like I said, I grew up hunting this property. I've got some other properties in the area around that I've got kind of some leads on that people may be interested in selling. And my mindset now is to kind of just try to advance the experience that I've had growing up hunting the Creekwoods by, you know, as we go forward, by trying to buy up adjacent parcels and really kind of lean into the Creekwoods thing. I've got some food plots and some fields.
You've done quite a bit.
But it's, I mean, to describe the property for somebody who's just now tuning in, it's basically a big river bottom property that has some old, what used to be all ag fields that back up to this river bottom. Now there's a couple houses sitting on those ag fields, but some of those ag fields we've sort of revived in a smaller way and made food plots and kill plots. You and I obviously planted some corn, which we talked all about on our story. And so, yeah, I've just kind of been leaning into that. And I think that's what where we're going to call it home. And like I said, there's a couple other properties that I don't want to talk too much about quite yet, but that are either directly adjacent or in the area that we might be able to acquire as well, just to continue to grow the amount of property that we have right there on the creek. So
I've been looking at land lately like a 401k, almost like an investment. Mm-hmm. You hear people say like buying land as an investment, but it really, like, when you look at it through that lens, like, hey, I'm not going to put my money into, you know, 401k, Roth IRA, whatever. But instead, like, actually investing and looking at how you can make land turn into money and how it can be valuable and it can, you know, increase in value over years. It's really fun to, like, watch you and your process and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you landing where you're landing, I think, is like a, I think you can see the long term in it.
Yeah.
Which is super hard for a lot of people to really conceptualize, like, the long program here.
Yeah.
And we always talk about playing the long game, and you really are, I think, playing the long game with this property. And from a point what you just said, like, you shot your first deer there, you had your first encounters, had some amazing encounters in the last 3 years, if you want to look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then it seems like they keep getting better.
Yeah.
You know?
So, which is cool, because we've tried to make intentional adjustments to the property.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if we spend time thinking about it, you know, like, you know, maybe there's some parallels there, some connections that some of these things are doing that we're doing are working. But I think, you know, this doesn't mean that I'm not going to be interested in other properties that are potentially still for, you know, other chunks of rec land for hunting. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, when my parents kind of started to talk about potentially downsizing or doing something different someday, my thought was, you know, whether I'm left with the property someday or they end up putting it up for sale, if I build on the property that I already own, which is adjacent to theirs, that would give me, you know, the easement and the opportunity to have that other property and keep that as kind of the home farm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then, you know, as you and I were just talking about it, like, we talk all the time about purchasing other farms for the intent of, you know, for investments. And then, you know, being strategic about that, we, you know, we could potentially be buying some other pieces for rec land and so forth. But I'm a little romantic about the Creekwoods. I love it. And I just think building where we're at is going to be a good opportunity and excuse, rather, to keep that home farm in the family. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at with it. We're excited. We're kind of moving forward with the whole house design process and all the things that go into permitting and everything to get ready to break ground. But like I said, in parallel to all that, I've talked to a couple neighbors, and there's a couple opportunities that would potentially add to the amount of land we have there. So
I like what you said about romanticizing, because I feel that way about a couple places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could look at it as, like, even when I go out west, we've gone out west together, there's mm-hmm. places that I still romanticize about.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, so much ground out there, but you think about a handful of places, and it's just like, especially where you had some of your first encounters, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah.
I love it. Kind of piggybacking off of that, moments is something that we have been kind of talking about in the background, behind the scenes, for, you know, a couple months now.
Yeah, we just haven't revealed anything about it yet.
This is something I think is going to be really special, because it's we are so blessed at the age we are and the physical fitness level that we are and just the determination level to get it done. We both have our own ground, you know, a piece of ground in the Midwest, and we're going to really highlight, you know, the Midwest hunter that, you know, most people are working 9 to 5. They got kids. People are getting married. Like, things happen in life. And here comes hunting season, October, November. Most people get a couple of weeks to get it done.
Yeah.
Planning has to take place. Sacrifice has to take place. Hey, you know, kids, wife, I'm going to be gone this week.
Vacation time.
It all boils down, and there's a lot of pressure, you know, and it's all about those moments.
Yeah.
And capitalizing and just enjoying nature, right? So that's kind of where we came up with the name Moments. And I think we're really going to try and highlight, you know, for just the average Joe hunter, like what goes into that week, what goes into those moments, the preparation, all of the, you know, the big things boiling down to that specific point in time. And we're going to name this series called Moments, where we basically are going to hunt both of our farms.
Yep.
And we're going to film it. We're going to document it like crazy and do some podcasting, I think, live time.
Yeah.
So you guys can see, like, exactly what happened that day. We'll be all over the story. We'll be all over the, you know, the social media. And just kind of, like, bringing it all down to, like, a week, right? I mean, there's obviously hunting that's going to be taking place before and after this week.
Right.
For our crew. But it also allows us, you know, as the Painted Arrow staff, to kind of really get to look forward to something. And we want to put ourselves in, like, that place. Like I said, like, most folks, they get a week, maybe two if they're lucky.
To get it done.
And, to get it done, to get an animal harvested and process it. And
fill the freezer, do the whole thing.
So fill in the cracks there, what I left out and what you're thinking on that, Dev.
Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up beautifully. Like, we realize that, you know, and like you just said, you just got married. I'm married. I just had a kid. So we realize have been at a relatively young age where we still have a lot of flexibility to do a lot of the things we like to do. But we're also, you know, realize that some of those life changes are happening, and that exists for everybody. And so a lot of people, like you said, they say, hey, I'm going to take, you know, 4 days of PTO, and this is going to be my rutcation. And, like, you know, maybe I'll get out on a weekend here and there leading up to it or after it. But by and large, this week is going to be my chance to get it done.
Yep.
And, you know, you tee up your expectations with, you know, your wife and family, and you organize the babysitters, and you do the whole thing. And this is my week to get it done. And that's the reality for a lot of people, like you said, specifically for the, you know, the Midwestern guy, the deer hunter. And so I think we're just going to try to highlight that and, you know, maybe lean into it, put a little bit of that type of pressure on ourselves to say, hey, we're going to take the PTO, we're going to hunt both farms, and the goal is to get a couple deer harvested. And we're going to do it, you know, using our Mag Pro. We're going to do it, you know, filming it and try to document everything. But really, more than anything, I think it's important that we don't just focus on that pressure that you're putting on yourselves to get it done, but, like, it's those moments. It's those moments in the tree in November with the crisp, you know, the crisp air and the fresh, you know, the frost and the crunchy, this everything, right? Like, focusing on the beauty of those moments, but while also realizing some people have that week to get it done.
Yeah.
And I think that's just kind of what we're going to try to capture and talk through. And, you know, even if we're not successful that week in getting a deer killed, we're going to document the whole thing, because right, wrong, or indifferent, that week is the reality for a lot of people. That's what a lot of people know as deer season. Like, same thing with gun season for some people. Some people are a deer hunter, but they get out the first 2 or 3 days with a gun, and then deer season's over to them.
Yep.
And that's fine. It's beautiful. It is what it is to everybody. But we realize that, and we probably all work with a guy that, you know, like, oh, first week of November, you know, Jeremy's going to be off. He's taking his week of vacation. Like, specifically, and, you know, I'm in manufacturing for my day job, and every time the rut gets here, you get a handful of guys that they take their 4 or 5 days off, and that's their chance to get it done. And I think we just really want to highlight and kind of pay tribute to that guy and document what that process looks like.
And this all chains together in a way, like, we'd be silly not to mention it, but that's kind of the whole reason. Yeah, it's half the reason that we made this MagPro thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You get to live those moments.
Relive those moments.
Relive the hunt.
Yeah.
You get to relive and those, I mean, like you said, it's once a year. Mm-hmm. You only get so many 25-degree November mornings. You only get so many of them in a year. So being able to kind of look back, learn, glean, smile, and just relive the hunt, we're going to be definitely demonstrating what these MagPros can do on a full scale. We were talking about it before this meeting today. It was like we got real serious about MagPro kind of towards the tail end of the season because it's just kind of how it lined up. And this year is going to be – it's going to be – pretty amazing.
Yeah, it, like last year, MagPro wasn't, as a product, it wasn't quite ready to be released.
Yep.
And then, you know, we're deer hunters at heart, so we kind of shelved it for the season. I mean, we obviously had them on our bow and we were using our prototypes, but in terms of
the packaging,
yeah, in terms of like actually executing it as a product to sell to you guys, we shelved it, and you know, we used it in the field for us, but you know, we're deer hunters at heart, and that's what we're trying to stay focused on. And then the season wrapped up, and we got, you know, ultra serious about getting it executed. And so this will be kind of be the first season that we're going into where these things are available to you guys on the website or in, you know, bow shops around the state. And so we're really excited to start getting that feedback and have people use it, have us be able to, you know, intentionally plan things like moments where we can leverage that product and try to, you know, just storytell better.
Absolutely. I'm pretty excited to do like the podcast every night, to be honest with you.
Me too. Live
time.
I mean,
just there's you always forget details, but getting together, that camaraderie at the end of the night, just like you would do naturally. You'd get together with your dad or whatever, and you'd call and you'd say, hey, I came in, you know, within 30 yards of this buck, and he smelled this, and he did this, and he made this head movement, and then he took this route out. But, like, to actually compile it, and then I think we'll be able to see throughout the week kind of some of the adjustments we might have made, weather, right, and how we really executed in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I think we talked about this a lot last year, but, like, going into this season and leading up to moments, like, you were throwing some batteries in one of your cameras or in some of your cameras before we met for this meeting, and like it's started, it's on. It's time to start finding that buck that we're going to be chasing during moments. It's time, you know, it's all started, and it's exciting. Like, I'm excited for the summer glassing sessions over a bean field looking at velvet bucks. Oh. I'm just excited for all of it, and it's on. I mean, it's right now.
It is right now.
The corn is in. Fall food plots are obviously coming. But all of that leads up to that one. I mean, I think that's actually, isn't that the Wired to Hunt thing or the meat eater thing, that one week in November? Didn't they do something like that last year? Yeah, and then.
With Mark Kenyon.
Mark Kenyon, yeah. And then I think Midwest Whitetail does something about.
Chasing
November. So, like. Similar and different, but like our idea and our focus is that one week that guy takes off in November.
Yeah.
And those moments that he's experiencing.
That's exactly right.
What it is that we have to offer, that Mother Nature has to offer. And so, yeah, we're just, I'm really excited.
It's going to be like a 10 to 14 day time that we both have off. Mm-hmm. We're going to be spending a lot of time together, documenting, hunting, most importantly, hunting.
Yeah.
But and then not a whole lot of time sleeping, so we got a calendar up there. I think that the plan is just based on last year, we were talking about this on the way to this meeting again, but my property last year was very much an early season property.
Yeah.
When I say early season, like October was hot, man. It just was. And then the first week of November was just like, wow.
I mean, you were in them that first week in November.
Like 7, 8, 9 was like, I mean, it is usually like that, but, like, I'm telling you, the cameras lit up. I mean, there's no denying it. There was just bucks in the area that weren't. But it kind of went cold towards the end of, like, 14, 15, 16. Yeah. Even though I shot a buck on the 15th, like, still, it was, like, noticeably different. Just noticeably different. And so I think we're going to target that accordingly. Like, when we do this moment series, we'll probably be at the Painted Arrow Acres beginning half, and then the latter half over at the Creek Woods, trying to get us a Creek Bottom Deluxe, you know?
Yeah, last year for me, during the rut, things kind of started heating up that 7, 8, 9 time frame. Like, November 11th, November 13th, those are always the best days for me in the Creek Woods. Like, that's when it just gets really interesting, and you've got bucks that you haven't seen that are just cruising that creek bottom looking for does. And,
What's so cool, too, is, like, there's a lot. I've only hunted this place 1 year. There's a lot to learn still.
Yeah.
I mean, so much with the crop rotation. Like, I have absolutely no idea what to expect with corn where beans were and beans where corn was this year. I have absolutely no idea.
That was something else I was going to bring up is, you know, you and I both have properties that are not ag intensive from the standpoint of, like, there's not a lot of ag or any ag really offered on our properties.
Mm-hmm.
So our properties are bedding and crossing properties that are dictated, how they use them is dictated by the rotational ag around us.
Yep.
And so the word rotational tells you that how they're going to use your property is going to change from 1 year to the next based on where the feed is
and what time of the year.
Yep. Because, like, all summer, they're going to be hanging out close to beans.
Yep.
Then beans are going to start drying up. Deer are going to start feeling pressured from the season, and then they're going to start retreating closer to corn, both for the food and for the additional cover.
And then we got our food plots in place and things of that nature.
Yeah. So,
have we really broke down the plan, like the corn planting? We haven't actually done.
I don't think we have on the podcast. No, we. If you haven't seen our story, I think you created what do you call that?
Highlight.
Nate created a highlight on our Instagram that kind of was that whole day that we documented. We planted corn at the creek or at the Creek Woods, packed up the tractor, packed up all the equipment, drove out to his place and planted corn down there. So
for the first time ever.
Yeah. We neither one of us had planted corn. So it may be a total bust, it may not. But we documented the whole thing. We did, you know, the research that we did. We talk about all that. This is year one for us messing around with corn. We both think are planning on some fall plots that'll be brassicas and whatever else, but this is our first time, you know, planting in May and messing around with corn.
Yeah, we probably need to break that down on another scale on another day, but because there's a lot to talk about there and unpack with what we learned and some of, like, why we put it where we did and all those things.
I think we need to do that on a separate podcast, and I guess I'll tease it. We both have seen. You know, our first signs of germination, some stuff coming up. So as we continue to watch that and see how that comes up and then how the weeds start, you know, potentially growing as well, and then how we handle that, because we did plant Roundup Ready corn so that as the corn comes in, if the weeds start getting really aggressive, we can go back and spray for those weeds. But as we go through all of that and once we've kind of learned all those lessons, so to speak, I think that'd be a good time to circle back and just talk about it all. Like, here are the things we learned on the day of the planting. Here are the things I would do or I wouldn't do again with regard to equipment or this, that, or the other thing. And we can kind of unpack that whole thing, and then we can even talk about, you know, why we planted corn, where we did, and so forth.
So I want to make a quick announcement here. June 24th and 25th, if you're in Michigan, we're going to be up at Jay's Sporting Goods at both locations. I think the first day is Claire, so that'd be the 24th, and then the second day is going to be Gaylord.
Yep.
And we're going to be up there at, for better lack of words, it's going to be a hunter show and tell on some product. There's going to be a couple of other companies there, but we were invited by Jay's, and we're going to be up there demonstrating and highlighting
The Mag Pro,
and some of our upcoming new exciting products that you might not even know about.
Yeah, you probably don't.
You don't. I just say it that way. You don't know about it. So, I mean, if you guys want to come out and see us and support us, we'll definitely talk about this in the weeks to come. But that's going to be next month, June 24th and 25th. We're going to be up at Jay's Sporting Goods. So we'd love to see you. We'd love to be very honored to have a podcast listener come up and shake our hand.
Yeah, or if you just, I mean, if you're skeptical about buying a Mag Pro and you just want to come see it on a bow and touch it, feel it, watch us shoot, I think we'll be able to shoot, I don't know, but either way, if you want to come talk to us, come talk to us.
It's going to be a hoot, man.
It's going to be sweet.
We're planning on being there the whole day, the whole weekend, so, yeah, that's pretty exciting, actually. That's going to be a good event.
That's going to be awesome.
Great guys up there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Jay's crew is really, really supportive of our product, so we're very excited to be up there.
Once we have additional info on that too, on in terms of times, like day, is it, you know, time that it opens and closes and all that, we'll
fill that in.
We'll fill that in. So maybe listen to the next podcast for that one.
Is there anything I'm missing here? Do you anything you want to close on, Dev?
Let's
any other
see.
Highlights you want to make?
Total Archery Challenge.
Yeah, great call. What's the date of that one?
I think it's June. Isn't it June?
It's going to be up
10,
at
11.
Iron Mountain, right?
11-12. I think it's 11-12, isn't it?
I don't know.
Let me see here.
But long story short, Painted Arrow Crew is going to be for sure at the Michigan Total Archery Challenge this summer. Devin's about to rattle off the days. We're trying to make it to at least a few of them, June 10th and 12th.
10th through the 12th at Crystal Mountain. So I think, I mean, at this point, if you haven't signed up, I know it's sold out. It sells out real quick. But if you just want to come and see, you know, the vendors and see everything else that's there, we'll be there. We'll have a booth, be able to show you the Mag Pro.
That's so. 3 weekends.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's so exciting.
We got to manufacture the product.
We got to give the people what they want.
It's going to be that's going to be a fun one. This will be my first Total Archery Challenge, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Usually I'm just at home shooting quite a bit, but this will be the first time getting out with this certain crowd and this event, and I could not be more excited.
I'm really excited.
So, Total Archery Challenge 2022.
June 10th through the 12th. We'll be there.
I guess to close out, I'm feeling good, man. I mean, it's really this... It's the start to spring. It's kind of done, right? Everything's greened up. Fawns are dropping. We both have shared stories about our sightings of fawns. And, like, this is, I mean, it's so crazy. Like, it's every year it just, you look forward to these certain times as a deer hunter. And, like, seeing the fawn dropping from, you know, just the last hunting season, it's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
When it all comes full circle and you start seeing, you know, velvet antlers kind of sticking out of heads, and like you said, man, like, it starts right now.
Well, and I think the other thing that we should revisit for a moment is, like, you and I are still pretty new in our evolution as bow hunters, even specifically for, like, for me, my history running trail cams, I've got like a season and a half of seriously running trail cams where, like, I've got data that I can over. So I don't have years and years of data that I can even overlay yet
with the specific place too,
right? So this is, like, the first year where I've got bucks on camera from last year that I know made it through the season that now I'm eager to find this year. So, like, that's a whole right there in itself is a whole new thing that I'm excited to, like, try to identify, like, oh, I know that's that buck from last year.
It's
the same thing for you too. I mean, brand new farm, you're going into year number 2. You've got 1 year of trail cam data. You know a couple bucks that made it through, and
there's 3 bucks that I want to see.
Same here.
There's 3 bucks that I want to see.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to see at least one of them. I mean, I
think
be
one
very
of them.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
2.0, I've talked about him. I think he's the Holy Spirit's little brother or something, but...
I think he's the Holy Spirit's son.
Yeah. Just... He's a 2-year-old last year that was just so wide that it made your jaw drop, and I could have shot him probably 3 times. Had multiple encounters with him, 4 or 5 encounters with him, and... he was the biggest homebody deer I think I saw all year after the Holy Spirit was out of the equation, you know, out of the equation there. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we got a lot of podcasts we can
do. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So,
yeah,
we're just gonna start pumping them out. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Pump,
because we've got. I mean, we've got the corn podcast we got to talk about. We still got to fully recap your turkey hunt, how awesome that was. So stay tuned. We've definitely got more coming. So,
yep.
Just gosh, I just think we're both so excited. So busy, got so many things going on, trying to pack so much stuff in. But
so I'm just gonna come out and say it because I know how many people listen to our podcast every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel comfortable saying this. If you come and see us at A, the Total Archery Challenge,
mm-hmm.
or B, at one of the Jays events, I got something for you.
Yeah,
you should come up and say, hey, you mentioned that on one of those podcasts. Hey, come up and say hi. If you come up and say hi to us at one of those events, I got something for you. I got a little gift to give you. It's worth it. I wouldn't drive over 3 hours for it, but if you're within 3 hours, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
All right, guys. Appreciate you listening along. Am I missing anything here?
I don't think so. This is more of a housekeeping podcast. Had to get some things out there, but
we got some good ones coming too, like planned, like with Yvette, like guests.
Yeah. That's the other thing we should tease real quick is
tease it
on the topic of the Buy Dirt series. I think we talked about it originally that we were going to have a realtor come on, somebody that specializes in rec land and hunting property. Mm. Well, we got one, and he's coming on, and he might even be somebody you know.
He might be.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. It's a big time. Stay classy, folks. Keep those cameras running and keep your Mag Pros running.
Yeah, keep it on your bow. Practice like you play.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you on the next one.
See ya.